It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, 17 minutes after 2, we do have our pastor finally on the line. Good afternoon to you, Pastor. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much, Mfundis. How are you?
I'm fine by God's grace.
All right, today we're talking about spotting false prophets in the church. This should go quickly because you've already touched on some of the issues yesterday. So I don't think it will be much of a problem because, after all, in a time where everyone has a platform, false prophets are more prevalent than ever before. We've been seeing one false prophet on TikTok seeming to tell everybody off. Musicians, artists, cars that Jesus doesn't like, computers that Jesus doesn't like, toothpaste, you know, all sorts of things. And it made me wonder. A friend of mine even posted about it on his Facebook page saying, why do we give everybody a platform? How do we tell when somebody is an actual prophet? So it's a legitimate question to ask. How does the Bible advise us to identify false prophets, Mfundis?
Oh, thank you. These are very, very pertinent questions. As you are saying, in the last days, there are a lot. I don't know how, if we can be able to count them and finish them for people who claim to be prophets. So I'm going to start by reading from Matthew chapter 7. I'll read from verses 15, maybe up to 20. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So here the Bible gives us a strong warning about a false prophet. It says, the tricky part is that these false prophets, they do not come and tell us that they are false prophets, but they come in sheep's clothing. They come as if they are representatives of Christ. They come in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, some of them even change their birth names, and they give themselves names that are associated with Christ or names that are associated with Christianity. So they come in sheep's clothing. But the Bible says we need to test them by their fruit, because they can pretend. There's a lot of pretense and acting. They pretend as if they are called by Christ. And then when you go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, it says, not everyone who says, Lord, 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 will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. For many shall come to me, shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Hey. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So in other words, the Bible says a calling the name of Jesus by word of mouth is not a sign that someone is a genuine prophet or a genuine Christian. It's not a sign that they will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So the key thing is keeping the commandments. Is the prophet keeping the commandments? Is he bearing fruit of obedience to the law of God? If not, then they are a false prophet. It says here, the Bible doesn't deny, in fact, that these prophets do great things. In fact, they can cast out demons. They can do wonders in God's name. But at the end, Jesus will say, I never knew you. Not meaning that he doesn't know their names. He knows their names, but their activities were not driven by the Spirit of God. Hey. So in other words, one key thing that should take note of, doing miracles, healing the sick, is not a sign that someone is a true prophet. It's not a sign. Because even false prophets can do those things. That's what Jesus is saying here. They can do those things. They can do great things, but not using the Spirit of God. So we know that Revelation 12, verses 7 to 12, tells us that there was an angel called Lucifer who became a devil. He was cast down together with the rebellious angels. They also have power to assist false prophets to do miracles. So miracles are not a sign that someone is a genuine prophet. Yeah. But keeping the commandments of God is the ultimate test. Obeying God is the ultimate test.
Talk to us about some common deceptions in front of us. What are some common signs of deception within the church?
For example, you see, we see that in some churches, we see some prophets will claim maybe to give people the spirit. They will say, "You want the spirit, or I will give you the spirit." And then you see people falling down and looking upwards. But the question is, do we see an example from the Bible of a prophet or Jesus himself who gave people the spirit and the people fell down, the whole church? If you see such signs, people falling down, there is a lot of commotion. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Verse 33 says that God is not the author of confusion. So when you see some confusions, people falling down, and you know, the prophets of the Bible, they did not go around saying, "The sick, come, come, we want to heal the sick, we want to give people money, we want to remove all suffering." Because in John 16, 33, Jesus says, I tell you this, that you may have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world." So, in other words, for Christians, troubles will not end before the second coming of Jesus Christ. But we have an assurance that Jesus has overcome the world. So, whenever a prophet says they want to finish all troubles, they want to finish all diseases, they want to finish all hunger in the world, then it's a sign that they are a false prophet, because that is not the sermon of Jesus. Jesus said, "Tribulations will not end, troubles will not end, death will not end until he comes." So Jesus is the one who will eradicate all the problems of the world. Before that, problems will persist because we are in a world of sin. And yet we have an assurance that Jesus Christ will be with us in our challenges.
And we tend to ignore, Mfundisi, the importance of discernment. Tell us, why is discernment essential when dealing with prophetic messages?
Wonderful, wonderful. So, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God." So, in other words, discernment is the number one thing that we should have. We cannot just see someone maybe under a tree or someone speaking in strange language and say, "That person is a prophet, let us follow him." There should be discernment. It should be testing. Every person who claims to be a man of God, they need to go under scrutiny. And so the gift of discernment, the ability to distinguish between the false and the true, is essential. It's inevitable, especially in the last days where false prophets have arisen, many of them.
And how can the church guard itself against being led astray by false prophets, Symphonies?
Wonderful. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the answer. The temptation of Jesus. He was tempted by the devil, and his answer always started by, "It is written, it is written." So, by being diligent students of the Bible, we can be safe. We can be able to discern the wiles of the devil or the strategies of the devil. So Jesus overcame the devil by, "It is written." And Satan used the three temptations to Jesus. The first temptation was about food, change these stones to become bread. And false prophets, they also use the issue of food to call people to themselves. And then the other temptation was the issue of worship. He said, "I will give you all the riches." He showed him a beautiful land, a glorious land, and said, "If you bow down to me, I'll give it to you." So the second temptation that the false prophets use is the temptation of riches. "If you come to my church, you'll be rich. I'll give you money. You'll be what." And Jesus says, "It is written, you shall only worship the Lord your God." And then the last one is a presumption or displaying miracles. The devil said to Jesus, "Go up to the temple and fall down, then the angels will gather you." So there was no need for Jesus to go on top of the temple. It was not necessary.
Right.
So false prophets, they display miracles. They compete with each other in doing miracles. So whenever you see that there is competition for miracles, we should say, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." So the key is, "It is written."
Right.
Starting the Bible, immersing yourself in the Bible,
Right.
then you'll be protected.
Final question, Fundis. Have you experienced any false prophecies or prophets in a church setting? And what was the outcome?
Yeah, I think you have already pointed, given us some examples. You know, in the Christian church as a whole, we have seen many false prophecies. We have seen many of them. Some of them, we have seen some even in the newspaper. Some say they raised someone from the dead, and then after some investigations, we realize that it is fault. So a lot of these experiences, and some of them, in fact, they can even pay people to come in their churches with wheelchairs, and then they pretend as if they are healing them. And then those people are paid monies, and then many people flock to those churches, and then they fork out some money, and then that person becomes rich. It's the order of the day. In fact, it's common practice whereby false prophets are making money, and they employ people who pretend to be sick, and then those people are healed. And then other people come and say, oh, look at that prophet. He has powers to heal. And then they give some money there. And then that person is rich, and that person is a big house at a low density suburb. That person is a company. There are a lot of stories that we see every day.
Okay. Pundits, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate your insights. And as always, your enlightening commentary there. Very, very interesting. Looking forward to our conversation. Hopefully, Pundits will be able to get you so we can be able to have more time together. Until tomorrow, have a wonderful day further, Pundits.
Thank you. Blessings.
All right.
What be with you.
Thank you very much, Mfundis.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.